Law and Grace, Commentary for the November 13, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Habakkuk the prophet came to the Lord with a question. How can the Lord sit idly by while the wicked prey upon the innocent? Theologians call that question the problem of theodicy. If God is good and loving, how can he tolerate the evil that abounds? Injustice and bloodshed were rife in Israel in Habakkuk's day. Kings who should have been examples of humility and obedience instead filled Jerusalem with innocent blood from one end to the other. Despite this, the Jews still considered themselves to be God's people, favored by God because of the tablets of the law hidden in the Ark of the Covenant within the Holy of Holies in the temple. No matter how wicked they became as a people, they felt that the temple meant God's presence in the temple was evidence that they remained his people. But those who truly had a godly heart were heartbroken to see how the people were behaving toward one another. They reasoned that if they felt this way, then God must surely be heartbroken as well. So why did he not do something about it? God answered Habakkuk. He assured him that he was indeed doing something. He was raising up the Babylonians. Their king Nebuchadnezzar would eventually march his army up to the walls of Jerusalem and level the city, killing many and taking others captive back to Babylon, where they would spend 70 years in captivity. This shocked Habakkuk. The Jews had the law, the ark, and the temple. The Babylonians had none of these holy things. How could God favor them over the Jews? Despite the evil that had spread throughout the kingdom, he could not reconcile this in his mind. Nonetheless, he decided that God is God, and he would patiently trust him to work out his purposes on the earth. However, had Habakkuk examined more closely God's dealing with evil, he would have seen the pattern more clearly. Centuries before, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Eventually, when the time was fulfilled and the wickedness of the Canaanites had gone too far, God used Moses to bring his people out of Egypt to claim Canaan, the promised land. The temptation for the Israelites, a temptation that still besets even modern Christians, was to believe that God allowing a people to have the victory and subdue another meant that they could claim the moral high ground and that their victory affirmed their righteousness as a people. Yes, they had the law, the ark, and the tabernacle. But tens of thousands of bodies left in the wilderness and tens of thousands more at Baal Peor testified that as a people, they were anything but righteous. God, through Moses and Joshua, many called to lead the Israelites, with great effort and never-ending frustration, called the rebellious Jews to punish the wickedness of the Canaanites, leveling their cities, much as Jerusalem would one day be leveled by Nebuchadnezzar. Despite this experience, those ancient Israelites were unable to save themselves from the same fate as the Canaanites. Presuming on the presence of the temple, they plunged ever deeper into evil and depravity. The prophets, both major and minor, attempted to steer the people in right paths. They tried to direct the people from relying on the presence of the temple, the ark, and the law, and to examine their own hearts. Isaiah chapter 58 is one example. The people felt that making the ordered sacrifices and fasting was the path to righteousness. But Isaiah shared that if one is not caring for their neighbor, loving them, and seeing to their needs, one is not loving God either. This council and others like it were ignored, and the prophets that spoke up were mistreated. Jeremiah was placed in a dungeon pit. Zechariah was murdered, and even Isaiah was sawn in two by Manasseh, who was arguably the most wicked king to reign in Jerusalem. Some might be tempted to think that if the Jews had only obeyed the Ten Commandments, they would have been saved. But the commandments are powerless to save anyone. It is a heart matter, not a matter of works. For instance, a person might never steal from their neighbor, but nonetheless wish he had what his neighbor has, his car, his boat, or his house. A man may never commit adultery with his neighbor's wife, but still furtively look upon her with lust. One may never murder anyone, but still silently rejoice when they die by disease or at the hand of someone else. These examples and others reveal it is possible to keep the letter of the law and not really keep it at all. Jesus tried to point this out when he said that lusting for a woman was the same as committing adultery, even if the act were never consummated. When we come to accept this understanding, we realize that outward obedience to the law can never save us. We come to the realization that our hearts are persistently evil. Our nature is to throw stones at others rather than love them. And where do we find those stones? They grow in our own hearts because we refuse to admit our brokenness and come to God for healing. He is more than willing to replace our stony hearts with hearts capable of loving others. To our way of thinking, we must first clean off the mud from ourselves so that we are clean enough to come into God's presence and can then, in good conscience, ask for that new heart. But that is like telling oneself that we must first lose our extra weight before showing up at a Weight Watchers meeting. Many find that they cannot lose the weight on their own and may eventually realize that the purpose of Weight Watchers is to help them get there. It is the same with God. He is not waiting for us to clean ourselves up so that we can come to Him. Instead, He wants us to come to Him so He can clean us up. Until we do, we can try by sheer willpower to legalistically achieve perfection. We can even make more laws in an attempt to make ourselves perfect. We may prohibit activities on the Sabbath that the Bible says nothing about. Rules like not going into the water any deeper than would keep your pant cuffs dry, being faithful Sabbath keeping. These are the result of this kind of thinking. Jesus pointed out that we are exceptionally good at making ourselves look outwardly faithful and perfect, yet remain filled with uncleanliness. So if we are powerless to save ourselves, what should we do? Peter says we should repent. In the Greek, repentance means turning about and going 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Instead of walking independently away from God, begin walking toward Him. And we approach Him as we would, seeking a gift from a king, confidently perhaps, for He has promised that gift, but not arrogantly asserting our worthiness or rank, for we have none. Then we will receive the gift promised. The Holy Spirit will begin speaking into our lives, sometimes through the small voice of our conscience, as we learn from experience and the tutelage of the Spirit, and sometimes through the voices of others who are also surrendered to the Spirit and have the same love growing in their hearts that we have discovered. At times, the voice of the Spirit may be painful as it speaks contrary to our lusts, but it is a good pain, like the ache of muscles after exercising. As muscle pain can guide us into more effective physical activity, so spiritual pain can direct us to effectively nourish love toward God and others in our hearts. As we walk, our steps will become surer and our purpose clearer. When we encounter the law not as dead words on tablets of stone, but as Jesus magnified it, we will be touched by the spirit of that law that reveals intentions that the law condemns, not simply outward acts. We will realize our need to change and respond by coming to God to effect that change. He will give us new hearts capable of hearing the Spirit's guidance and of loving as we were created to love. We no longer need to carry the burden of our wayward hearts and the guilt and uncleanness we feel. We can instead find rest and hope. As Jesus invited, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Who will come? Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find the written version of this commentary, as well as many other commentaries and podcasts like it, at our website at www.visitstillwater.com. May God richly bless you and your family.